Good morning and welcome. It is again wonderful to see everybody here. I say that and I really do mean it. It's always a pleasure to get up here and to be able to turn back and see how many people have shown up and are here to glorify God and to learn from Him. We are very thankful for your presence, especially for our visitors. We hope that you'll have a little bit of time afterwards to stick around so we can get to know you better. And we encourage you, if you have any questions, to please ask afterwards, and we'll be happy to do our best to answer because we strive to follow God's word and not our own opinions. And I hope that everybody will test what is said this morning to make certain that that is true. I've had conversations with several of you about this particular congregation. Bonnie and I feel extremely blessed to be a part of this congregation. I know that many other members of this congregation feel extremely blessed to be a part of this congregation. There are churches out there that are struggling so badly that people are discouraged when they worship. They go home and they feel weakened rather than strengthened. That's not us. We come together and there is joy and there is worship and there is encouragement and there is life and there's just a beautiful relationship that we have with one another. And I wonder what makes that such a great relationship, what has made us to become what we are. And part of it is you can't ignore the underlying strength of any congregation, which is Christ. It is our common faith in a God who has sent His Son to die for our sins. It is that hope that we have. It is our dedication to truth. But there's no mistaking what our strength is. There's no mistaking what people repeatedly talk about with this congregation, and that is the love that we have for one another. And it allows us in good times to rejoice and have great comfort with each other. But then we find times like we've been experiencing lately when things get a little hard, when there's pain and sorrow with the loss of Kyle, with us watching as Harold slowly perishes before our eyes. And we find that the great part of this congregation, that love is strength and comfort during difficult times. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But my sermon is not about the wonderful congregation that we have, but the fear that we might lose it. So I was approached just over a week ago by Rob. And I don't know if the other elders, I don't know if this was a request from the elders or just Rob. I don't know. But he mentioned that there was some talk. He'd become aware of something. And wanted me to present a lesson on it. And I eagerly desire to do so. And quite frankly, as I look at it more and more, I think this is about me more than anybody else. I don't think that's what Rob was talking about, but I think it's about me. There was rumors of gossip. Talk of gossip within a congregation. And the thing about gossip is it will destroy what we have. The sermon is titled Gossip. It's devastatingly easy, but it's bottom line just devastating. It's really easy for us to fall into talking about others in ways that we shouldn't. And it's really devastating as to what that will produce. And so I want us to have this morning's lesson to be a simple reminder to be careful about the things that we say when we're talking to one another, when we're talking to our neighbors, when you're talking online. At all times, we need to be careful. I think about Romans chapter 1, which was read for us this morning. And it talks about this ultimate demise of the morality of mankind. And it all begins when they reject God as being God. They don't give Him the glory and the praise and the thanks that He deserves. And then God just lets mankind fall further and further and further away from Him. Until you get to verse 28, and it says, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper. So here are the things that he lists after that. These are things that come from a mind that is in the wrong place, a life that is not proper. He emphasizes it again at the end in verse 32. He says, although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So everything in between there in verses 29 and through 31, these things are depraved mind, not proper, and things that are worthy of death. And what do you find right there at the end of verse 29? Oh, we have things like murder and thieves. We have haters of God. We have proud people. And then we have there in verse 29, gossips. It's an easy thing to commit. It's a horrible thing to do. It is indeed devastating, and I think Proverbs will describe that. And Proverbs is looking at friendships, but I want you to consider how that relates to us as a congregation and the friendships and the bonds that we have. In Proverbs 16 and verse 28 says, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. In chapter 17 and verse 9, it says, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. In chapter 26, verses 20 through 22, for lack of wood the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. And so here, talking about our speech, whether it be slander or gossip, it talks about how this will take the most strong relationships, the people that have been friends for a long, long time, and it will destroy that relationship. And so to hear that there might be gossip going on is a terrifying thing within a congregation that has so much good going for it. And it's something that we need to be very cautious about, as it will devastate this church if we're not cautious, if we don't remove it. So what is gossip? And it's kind of hard to define. We could look at some of the terms that are used, and that'll help. The first one is gossip. That we're already talking about it. But gossip is one of the terms. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, though, in regards to, again, this, the nature of gossip, the importance of removing it. Paul is getting ready to come back to the church at Corinth, and he's given them this opportunity. I can come back to you in this really nice way, or I can come back and I can have to fix things. I can have to discipline people. He says in verse 20, for I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you not to be what I wish, and may be found by you not to be what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality which they have practiced. And so here's his fear as he comes back to Corinth. He's afraid he's going to find gossipers, among other things. So the words that are used, gossip, sometimes in Proverbs you'll find it's talebearers. These are people that are storytellers. They're going to tell you about what somebody else has done. I have this story to tell you about my neighbor, about this person who sits across from me. Sometimes it's called whisperers. And in fact, the root word for gossip in the New Testament means a whisperer. Somebody who's whispering in the ears. And then in 1 Timothy 5:13, Titus 2, verse 3, and actually there's additional places as well, but it talks about something and it adds maliciousness to it, malicious gossips. That's actually a really scary word that's being translated there. It's in Greek, it's diabolos, which is devil. It's being devilish. You're fulfilling the role of the devil. The devil doesn't really lie to God. It's not about lies. The devil just works against us with God. He accuses us before God of the things that we have done. He is our enemy in that regard. And this word is being used in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. It's a warning about widows. In Titus 2 and verse 3, it's again about women. And it's saying, watch out that you don't become like the devil, working against the people around you. What is gossip? Well, if we look at the English definitions, it's a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others, or it's rumor or report of an intimate nature. It's knowing something others don't know and wanting to tell them. And it's really difficult to identify. I was going back and I was looking at sermons that I presented on the subject of gossip, and they always come to this point, and here we are again. What is it? Because I have faith in you. I believe that most people within this congregation, the vast majority of you, desire to do what's right. The challenge is sometimes we don't recognize gossip for what it is. And there's a reason for that. Gossip is hard to identify. First, because, like, if you take Proverbs 17, verse 9. All right, so what did it say, Proverbs 17, verse 9? He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. So here's a repeater, somebody who's saying, oh, do you know what so-and-so did? And then they say, oh, do you know what so-and-so did? And they're repeating a matter to other people. But what's the Bible do? The Bible tells us about what certain people did. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 14 through 15, Alexander the coppersmith, it tells us what he did. And that wasn't gossip. And so the challenge is, just because you're talking about somebody doesn't make it gossip and it doesn't make it good. And the Bible doesn't help us out exactly in this area the way that I would like. I don't like it when people sin. That's not good. But it really helps me out when they've sinned and the Bible says, see, that was this sin. Now I'm just like, I've got it. Can you think of somebody in the Bible that the Bible says this person was a gossip because they said this about this person? Nope. I can't think of that example. And so we have this challenge of identifying it. But we also know it's really easy to do. Really easy to do. We know, first of all, because in James chapter 3 and verse 2, in regards to the tongue, it says if anybody can control the tongue, they can control the whole body as well. We know that when it comes to sins of the tongue, we're talking about sins that, well, sometimes we just say they slipped, right? It's things that just kind of come out of us really quickly, really easily. The tongue is hard to control. I know that gossip is easy to do because of experience. It was interesting to me that Rob would request this particular subject because I was already thinking about it, not in regards to, oh, I wonder if so-and-so's gossiping. I have no idea who Rob was talking about. I was thinking about it in regards to things I was saying. And I usually am very careful. I'm usually pretty careful not to talk about what other people have said or what other people are doing. I really strive not to do that. But then I was thinking, I've been saying some things lately. And I started feeling guilty about some of the things that I've been saying. And it's made me think and realize that this sermon's for me. And I have to be very careful. And it's a challenge because I want to share with you what's going on in my life. But I must do it carefully. Because any time we open our mouth, we've taken a risk. That doesn't mean we can never talk. But we just have to understand there's the potential for sin every time you speak. We have to be careful. So how are we going to identify gossip? What can we do to look at our speech and improve on it? I'm going to suggest 5 gossip rules. Since the Bible doesn't give us this nice, clear line that says, okay, here's when you've crossed over from just an okay conversation to a now sinful congregation, conversation that's worthy of death. How can we define it? I suggest 5 rules, and the first one is the golden rule. What did Jesus teach us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12? Jesus says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Why not apply that to how we speak? So think about it. As you're getting ready to talk about what somebody else has done or what somebody else is doing or what they've told you, think about whether you would appreciate the same thing being said about you. And if you wouldn't appreciate it, that's probably a good sign that that's a good time to stop talking about that. Because you're not treating them the way you would want to be treated. The second rule is the whisper rule. So Proverbs 26, verse 22, and actually, anytime you see the word gossip, you're looking at a whisperer. And what I mean by the whisper rule is this. If you come to a part of the conversation where you were talking normally and then all of a sudden you have to get quiet, that's a warning sign. Why did you get quiet? Why did you suddenly have to say something so nobody else could hear? It's the whisper rule. And it says if you have to stop talking out loud and you now are starting to whisper to talk about somebody else, that's a really good indication you should stop talking. Because it's just called the whisperers. The root of the word is a whisperer. That's not to say that whispering is bad, but when we have to start whispering about something, kids, that does not mean that the inside voice is bad. Inside voice is good. The other rule is, the third rule is the secret rule. In Proverbs 11 and verse 13, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. And so here's the question is, am I saying something that was meant to be kept secret? If that's the case, then you shouldn't be saying it. Fourth rule is the love rule, which goes very much like this in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7. As Paul comes to the end of his definition, this beautiful definition of what love is, he says these four things at the end: bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I had a funny moment in a class once with, I had somebody I was working with to teach, and they looked at that bears all things and they spelled it wrong. And so they spelled it B-A-R-E-S, and that means reveals all things, which is actually the exact opposite of what it means. It's funny how our language works that way. B-E-A-R-S, bears all things, means conceals, covers all things. And so the question, the love rule is, am I bearing or am I bearing? Am I covering something? Am I protecting somebody? Or am I laying them out in the open and exposing their heart and their life? And the fifth and final rule is the rule of edification. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it's this question of why am I saying it? What will the benefit be? Ephesians 4 and verse 29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Paul talks about Alexander the coppersmith for the benefit of Timothy, to protect Timothy, not to do anything harmful to Alexander. And the question then is, why am I saying this? Am I saying it really to help somebody, to really encourage somebody, strengthen somebody, protect somebody, build somebody up, give them an example? Or am I saying it because I know it? And in thus actually hurting somebody else. Those are the five rules. The golden rule, the whisper rule, the secret rule, the love rule, the rule of edification. I believe that if we'll follow those things, we will steer pretty far clear from any gossip. And so I'm asking you to help make this congregation maintain its course, to keep us on this path of growing closer to each other, growing in number, growing in knowledge, growing in spiritual strength, growing closer together. I'm asking for your help. And I'm offering you mine. I'm going to work on this. I need to work on this. So what can we do? Well, first, don't gossip. And then don't associate with a gossip. This one I find pretty hard. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. I mean, it's As much as I say, okay, I've messed up lately, I've sinned, typically I don't gossip because I don't talk. I solve that problem real easily. And so I run into this side of things, and that is, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a gossip. And I run into the challenge of stopping a gossip. And so the last thing is, when we talk, when you're having conversations with one another, have a part of the conversation be, is this an appropriate conversation? Have it with yourself, in your mind, saying, should I be saying this? But have it with one another. Let's help each other to talk about things that are appropriate and to avoid things that are of a depraved mind, to avoid things that are not proper, to avoid things that are ultimately worthy of death and destructive to a congregation. I appreciate your time and your attention on this. There's always so much for us to work on, but this is one of those challenges. And I hope you will not take this as a rebuke, because I can't rebuke you for it. I'm just making you aware of it. And it's something that's good for all of us to be thinking about and striving to improve on. Now, if there are any here who are not Christians, sin is a deadly serious thing. I hope you'll come back this afternoon. We'll talk about that a little bit. But if you have sin in your life, and if you're not a Christian, you do. The Bible tells us that. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You have failed God. You have not been the person that you need to be. And as a result, there's a consequence. You may not think of your sin as too severe. You may not think of it as too big. But to God, it was massive. It was huge. It destroyed who you are. It destroyed your purity. And of course, we all know we didn't just sin once. We have filled our lives with sins. And the cost of it is our soul. But Jesus came on this earth, lived a perfect life, set the example for us, taught us who God is and what God wants, and died on the cross so that you at this moment could choose to follow him and have your sins washed away. So if you're not a Christian, but you believe Jesus came from God, if you believe that he died on the cross and was resurrected, it's time to start following him. It's time to start receiving the benefits that he offers you. It's time to become a Christian. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in him. And be baptized into Jesus this morning. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, and maybe it was just as simple as opening your mouth, thanks be to a God who is merciful and patient and wants us back and wants us to improve and to grow. And we stand ready to help. Won't you come, confess your sins, and we will pray for you and you will be forgiven. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
On this land of parting blue.